Well, it's Memorial Day weekend, isn't it? Get an extended weekend. Another day to play. Fry up some burgers or something. Memorial Day. Steve Deckard rode his little car in the Indy parade yesterday. And one of these days, I'm going to take his uniform, see if it'll fit me, and ride it for him. I think that is so cool, you know. Only I'm going to pop wheelies and go on the side, but then I'll probably wreck and realize why he doesn't do it. Oh, my. Memorial Day is a day that on which those who died in active military service are remembered. Traditionally observed May the 30th, but now it's officially observed on the last Monday of May. We live free today because men and women gave themselves to the cause of freedom. Some gave their very life. We've listened to stories of those who would not retreat in the face of the enemy. They either stood their ground or they went forward in a charge in the face of almost certain death. Not everyone returned home to their families. They are heroes of the past, and we remember them. The flag is to be flown at half-mast on Memorial Day until noon. I learned that just this weekend. Maybe I've heard it in the past, but I didn't recall it. It stood out to me as something new. We remember the heroes of the past today. There's a cloud of witnesses that remind us this Memorial Day that freedom isn't free. Freedom is not free. We have some among us that have taken that call to military service, and we thank you and are thankful to our Heavenly Father that you were able to come back to your families. We're thankful for that. The writer of Hebrews recorded that phrase about a cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The Amplified says that word witnesses, or that phrase cloud of witnesses, are those who have borne testimony to the truth. They've borne testimony to the truth. Now, I take that to mean that it could be people that are bearing testimony to the truth still alive, but also we think about it more commonly perhaps of those that bear testimony to the truth and they are now gone. They've passed over. Their life on earth is ended. We really don't know a whole lot about the way things work on the other side of death. But Scripture does give us a little bit of a glimpse as we look at Luke chapter 16 of a man without a name. We don't know his name. He's only referenced in Luke 16 as a rich man. And he died. And in his existence after death, he was very concerned about those that were still alive, specifically his family. Even he became a part of the cloud of witnesses because he could bear testimony to the truth. Surely the Hebrew writer, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, also provides what that cloud of witnesses would possibly say to us if they could speak from beyond the grave. What would they say to us? Any of your loved ones, your friends, family, somebody that has gone on, what would they say to us? No matter what side of the gulf that they find themselves in existence today, what would they say to us? Would they say, along with the Hebrew writer in that very verse about the cloud of witnesses, people, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you? Do you think it's possible that they, knowing the truth, testifying to the truth, could possibly challenge us, along with the Hebrew writer, to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience? I want to take a little bit of time this morning. Maybe it'll be too much time because there's a fairly long list, but I want to remember those that have gone on before us. If you would bear with me, I'd like to go back all the way to January the 9th of 2004, when my pap died. World War II Navy veteran, hero in my eyes and a hero in all of his grandkids' eyes. And he passed away. Godly man. I always believed my pap to be a solid Christian. I had the privilege 1 month prior to him dying to spend 3 days with him. We cried, we laughed, we read the scriptures. He shared with me his life. I wonder what Pap would say to me today. March the 10th, 2006. It's before my time, but I feel your pain. As I hear your stories of Rodney Montgomery family, and how their lives have influenced you as a church family, even to this day. And your hearts grieve and ache even now. June the 29th, 2007, Don Haycox slipped from the scene. February 25, I hope I don't miss anybody that you think that I should mention, but February 25, 2010, Verlin Dennis, leaving behind Esther Albright Dennis. What a man of faith, a hero of the cross. April the 2nd, 2010, Jane Montgomery. Jane Montgomery, who it's been said has music students around the world, having taught so many people. July 16, 2011, Brother Tedrow's father passed. September 19 of, I should have had this one a little bit before here, I guess. 2010, Lavina Gibson, Grandma Gibson, we know her. Here's another one in 2010. I got ahead of myself there a little bit, I guess. October 12, 2010, Faye Albright's son, grieving today. August the 13th of 2013, Marquita's grandson, Brandon, slipped from this scene in a tragic, tragic way. September 20 of 2015, mixed emotions with this, but Donnie Montgomery. October 4, the last day of revival meeting, youth revival here at Wise Ball. Frank Heidler was the evangelist. My mother-in-law passed. January 11 of 2016, Wilma Albright. Just a few days later, I believe, January the 16th, Reverend Paul Keyes. And as I was looking at this, I thought in my mind how I'd love to hear him pray one more time. In January of 2017, Amy's dad. May the 20th, 2017, Esther Albright Dennis. November 15, 2017, John Brett. March the 19th, 2018, Bob Green. He always said that he wanted to meet Natalie. He wanted to hold Natalie. We didn't take her over, kept talking about it. Finally, I believe it was the night before he passed. My wife said to Jonathan and Amberly, he said, "We're going over there. We're taking Natalie. You want to go along?" And she lit up on his lap and jabbered and smiled, and he had a time loving it with little Natalie. And within hours, he was gone. December 21, 2018, Kenneth Montgomery. What a gentle giant. November 7, 2019, Mary Beth's father, Luther Foster. October 16, 2020, Sam Wagner. What a friend. I don't know that Sam could have ever had an enemy. January the 2nd, 2021. My father-in-law, who was a dad to me from the time I was 18. April the 3rd, 2021, David Franklin. December 29, 2021, Faye Clark. Some of you would call her mother. She was mother, wasn't she? Even when her mind was pretty well gone, she could still pray. It's phenomenal. She didn't know who I was, but when I asked her to pray, the last time I was able to have her pray, she had no clue who I was, but she knew how to pray. Because she had such a great relationship with the Father. March the 12th, 2022, Haley's mom, Teresa. March the 25th of this year, my dad. Maybe I've missed one, and I apologize if I have. Those that have gone on before us, no matter which side of the gulf that they are on, the side of poor Lazarus, as he is named in Luke 16, which he went to a place that is said in that passage that it was a place of comforts and delight. Lazarus, who didn't have anything, but he went to a place of comforts and delight. On the other side was said to be a place of discomforts, distresses, and anguish. I think the King James says torments. Tormented in this flame. If they could speak to us from either side, wherever any one of them are, it would be the same thing. It would be the same thing. I can't help but think that they might even go back into their memory and pull up what the Apostle Paul and his anointed challenge to in the Epistle of Romans, where he said to present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, which is a reasonable service, just reasonable service, a living sacrifice. Can I tell you this morning, remind you this morning, I'm not telling you anything that you haven't heard, you don't know, but let me remind you this morning that there is nothing in this life worth hanging on to that'll cause us to miss heaven. There's nothing in this life worth hanging on to. It doesn't matter what it is. It's not worth hanging on to if it causes us to miss heaven. Even if there's a possibility in your mind, a great cloud of witnesses. Can you imagine that they, with me, that they are cheering us on today? They are cheering us on today. Like I said, we don't know what goes on the other side, but a little bit that we do know, remember that there are prayer bowls of those who have prayed for us while they were living. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 5. And now they're on the other side, and they know the truth. They are a testimony to the truth of what life is all about and what the afterlife is all about. Sometimes it might seem as though we are all alone in this vast universe without the means of navigating all the storms or even navigating through the clouds of life. We need to hear His voice, God's voice. Listen for His leaning. No matter what all the other voices in our head or circumstances would say to us, no matter what would seem right, listen for His voice. Dr. David Gibbs shares a story of being in Alaska, out some distance away, and was ready to leave. He and another lawyer were there for some kind of a lawsuit, and they were ready to go. They were waiting on the airplane. They had tickets in hand when a pastor walked up to them and said, I can save you some money. And he's like, Dr. Gibbs said, well, how's that? He said, well, I have a small plane that I flew up here, and I could fly you back to Anchorage, and you could save this money. Dr. Gibbs hesitated. He said, no, that's okay, that's okay. Appreciate your kindness. Listen to him tell the story.
I was in Alaska doing a lawsuit. We're way out in the Aleutian Islands, getting ready to leave and go back to Anchorage and then home. And I had a ticket in my pocket to get on an airplane. A pastor came up and he said, listen, I can save you money. I said, how's that? He said, I flew a small airplane up here. And I fly a small airplane, and I can take you in my little airplane, and you can save your ticket. And this did not sound, I said, thank you so very, very much. But I've got this ticket. We'll just make our way on home, me and this other lawyer with me. He said, no, 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 you got to do it, you got to do it. And against every better judgment I had, I said, okay. Well, we went out to the airport, took us by his little plane, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, one good thing, it's shiny. Then he walked around it. We got in. He's on the left front. I'm on the right front. The other lawyer's sitting right behind me. And he started it up, and it started up just fine. Well, we taxied out. I said, should we pray? He said, yeah, that's a good idea. We normally don't. I said, well, this time we're gonna. And I'm telling you, I prayed 5-8 minutes. I prayed a long time. We went and got on the runway. He starts down the runway. The plane lifted off ever so gently, and we start climbing. And it's wonderful. Not a problem in the world. We started climbing, and we flew probably 3-4 minutes. And something happened that will never leave my mind. The pilot turned to me, and he said, we're going in the clouds, and I can't fly in clouds. They make me pass out. I said, clouds make you do what? Now, it's been cloudy all day. And we go right up into the clouds, and you can't see anything. And he looks at me, and his eyes roll back in his head. And he starts mumbling, and he passes out. Passed out cold. Now, I grabbed him, and I shook him, and I said, come on, you got to wake up so I can kill you. Now, we're in the clouds, flying along with no pilot. And my friend in the back seat said, we're dead, aren't we? I said, there's a very good chance of that, yes. He said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. But there was a radio right there, and I handed him the microphone, and I said, start asking for help. So he's in the back seat reaching up, and he said, hello, hello. We didn't know any proper radio etiquette. All we were saying was hello. And somebody answered back, hello, hello. Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette? And I said, give it to me. I said, we don't know nothing. Tell him we're in an airplane with a passed out pilot and we don't know how to fly this plane. The guy said, I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo. And he said, you're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you? I said, tell him that's correct. Now you got to understand, I am sweating bullets. He said, the first thing I'm going to do is start circling so I don't lose you. Because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore. And he said, I'm going to get Anchorage Emergency for you. And Anchorage Emergency will be the people that can maybe help you. Try to save your life. After about 5 minutes, Anchorage came on, said, we understand you have a passed out pilot. And those of you do not know how to fly that plane. We said, that's right. They said, well, the first thing we got to do is find you. And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, my job is to get you home safe. He said, that's my job. But he said, here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you got to promise me you'll obey my voice. He said, you can't see me, but I can see you. And he said, if you're not going to obey my voice, you're going to die. When you can't see anything, you have no idea how disorientated you become. Finally, he said, okay, I found you. Now hear me clear. He said, you're 4 minutes from a mountain. He said, you're going to crash in that mountain and die. Follow my voice. I never said, I have to follow your voice? Is that reasonable? You see, I understood without his voice, I had nothing. And do you understand? Without God's voice, you have nothing. Nothing. Finally, he got us turned. And he said, I'm freezing all the traffic in the area. He said, it's going to take me an hour and a half to get you to Anchorage, and there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride. And he said, I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm, just my voice. He said, if you start watching the storm, you will die. But I'll take you through it. Now, because they cleared all the traffic, several pilots, those nighttime freighters, those 747s, started talking to us. They said, we're praying for you, men. You're going to make it. But listen to the voice. That's the key. They said, trust the voice. You realize your head is full of voices. And everybody in this world wants to talk to you. And everybody wants to be the controlling voice. And God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice. Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. And then the voice came back and it said, now, I'm going to line you up. He said, I'm going to bring you in right down the runway. And at the foot of the runway are some lights, and they're in the form of a cross. He said, don't you forget this. The cross is the way home. finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, stay with me. My sheep, the Bible says, hear my voice and they follow me. Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop. And the minute we stopped, the pilot woke up. The voice said, thanks for listening. I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they get the voices in their head and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. Thanks for listening to the voice. Then they put us in a motel room and about 4 in the morning, they knock at my door. And I opened the door and a man was standing there. He said, hello, David. I said, you're the voice. You're the one who got me home. He said, I am. Do you understand one day you're going to stand before him and say, you were the voice. You're the voice that brought me home. If you're not on that altar as a living sacrifice, your head's full of voices. And then we wonder why kids crash and burn. We wonder why marriages are shattered. And the Lord's saying, I'm the one who has the voice. All I can remember is that voice saying, stay with me. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head and don't watch the storm. Stay with me. And I'll take you through. Tonight you have a God who has promised to take you through. A living sacrifice, holy.
No way I could tell that story the way he did. But it's so true, isn't it? We know it from this side. But in the midst of those clouds, when the voices are telling us we need to do this or we need to do that, listen to his voice. Because while we can't see him, he can see us. And there's that cloud of witnesses that it's cheering us on, praying. Their prayers are bottled up, put in a bowl. Their tears are bottled. And if we listen to his voice, he will take us all the way home. Praise God. Praise God. Listen to his voice all the way to heaven. Let's stand together. Praise God. Brother Shaper, would you dismiss us in prayer?